This evening we've asked Brother Bob Wilson of the Fresno class to ask the Lord's blessing upon Brother Ken Furnett's service.
Our most gracious and kind, loving Father in heaven, we come to Thee with humble hearts to thank Thee this evening, dear Father, for the wonderful privilege we have of coming together in this convention to have the experiences of this day and to have the wonderful presentation to the public on the condition of Israel and the hope for that nation. And we do thank Thee that we had a nice turnout and that we had an opportunity to witness to some of the folks that were here to see that program. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son, for the wonderful privilege that we have of walking in His footsteps, of striving to understand and do Thy will more perfectly in our hearts, that we may be more like Him in thought, word, and deed. And we thank Thee for the provisions that Thou hast made for all Thy people everywhere, and we pray Thy blessing upon each according to their needs. And now as we come together for this final discourse of the day, we pray that Thou will bless our minds and hearts and prepare us for this lesson, and that Thou will bless Brother Ken as he breaks to us the bread of life concerning this matter of consecration. So we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all these favors and blessings. We ask forgiveness and give Thee thanks in Jesus' name.
Well, I really enjoyed Don's rendition of Jesus Rose of Sharon, and it really drew our minds to this topic of Brother Ken's this evening, Jesus on consecration. And we look forward to hearing from Brother Ken. We're so happy that he and Sister Carm could be here and take time out of their busy schedules there at the Dawn. So, Brother Ken, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Wade and Brother Bob. And thank you so much, Sister Dawn, for that.
Thanks, tears. Lovely.
Well, brethren, we sure had a full day, didn't we? We had a full day. If I was to make a motion, would you second it? In California, they call it siesta, don't they? Sister Carmelita and I are very happy to be here again in Los Angeles. We want to bring to you the loving Christian greetings from different parts of the world, so to speak. We have greetings from the Dawn family. There's brethren individually that sent their love. Brother John Mercer from Australia, he wanted to remember to you, dear brethren. We also had a phone call from down yonder, Australia as well, from Brother Henry and Sister Margaret Greenhalt, and also from their son, Darren. And anyway, Darren announced he's getting married to a sister in Romania on August the 13th. So Henry's going to be going over there to butcher the hog. They're going to prepare for the wedding. We also have loving greetings from Sister Ann Truth Post. She wanted to be remembered to you. From Olivia and Bertram Keith. They wanted to be remembered to you also. And Mike Lollick and his daughter Sharon wanted to be remembered to you. The Montagues, Homer and Beverly. They send a special Christian loving greetings to you. The Lukes, they wanted to be remembered to you as well. And these are the ones that come and work at the Dawn occasionally, from time to time. Ruby Williams, she wanted to be remembered to you. Also, George and Alice Patius, they want to be remembered too as well. And brother and sister Casper, Lillian and Nick Casper, send her love as well. We have greetings as well from the Philippines. There's a class in Philippines that the brethren there are very active, and we're able to translate a lot of the literature that they want in their language, and it's called Tagalog. And they're having some wonderful results in witness work that they do there. We have greetings from Ukraine. We have greetings from Poland, some of the brethren there. And we have a young brother here that can probably give us more greetings from Poland, from the other parts of the country that he was from. We have greetings from the Caribbean Islands, Uganda, Denmark. Too many countries to mention, but these brethren are very grateful for the service that we provide for them in printed material. I want to mention something that I had mentioned once before, but some of you know, some of you don't. But especially for the young folks who are just new in the truth, and especially some of those which came out of the Watchtower Society. There was a young man. He was 17 years old. And he symbolized his consecration in 1907. And his father said, I want you to go work at the Battle House. I want you to work with Brother Russell. And that's what he did. He helped Brother Russell putting together the photodrama of creation. He ran the projectors. You probably know who that is. Brother Woodward. As time went on, he was on the radio for Rutherford after Brother Russell died. And so he was handed the script, which is he's supposed to put on the air, and he says to Rutherford, this is not the truth. Far from it. He says, I want you to put it on the air. And if you don't, I'm going to fire you. He says, you don't have to fire me. He says, I quit. He walked out. On his way out, he walked out through the back door of the battle. He noticed something there in the garbage. Brother Russell's picture, that wide, stood almost 5 feet high. He picked it up, he struggled, he took it home. And that's the picture that hangs above the mantle to adorn home. Some of your brethren over there have seen it. But I want to mention something about Brother Woodward. Because Brother Russell left us a legacy. And it's a wonderful legacy. He printed an inside watchtower cover. To us, the scriptures clearly teach. And Brother Woodward continued on that same message. What is the mission of the church? What should we be doing? And his mission was to proclaim the gospel message worldwide. And he did to the best of his ability. And we hope to do the same of our labors at the dawn. We provide printed material for all classes throughout the world, whatever they need, to help and promote the gospel message, to fulfill what is mentioned in Matthew 24:14, the presence of the Lord, the harvest work. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And we enjoy doing it. And we thank you, brethren, for your prayers to make it possible that this work continues to go on. We have a dear sister here. She also comes in every Wednesday. And she's an angel. Sitting in the front row. Lord bless you, dear. The other day, just as we're ready to lock up the plant, it's a little after hours, the phone rings. So I ran and answered it. It's almost a shock. And the lady at the other end says, "Is Charles Russell there?" How do you answer her? I didn't want to tell him that he's passed away way back in 1916. But I says, "Well, what is it that you want to know? What is it about?" Well, in other words, she says, "Well, is this a number?" You know, she repeated the number that she called. I said, "Yes, that's a number." "Well, is Charles Russell there?" I says, "No." "Okay, thank you." So maybe she called back again. I don't know. We received a wonderful note. A letter came in. One of the university was the address in Pennsylvania. And the letter says, "I'm so thankful that you're still carrying on the legacy of my father and my uncle." The uncle was Brother Woodward. So you can see how they were concerned about the message. And she signed off, "Waiting for the kingdom." The last few days, we heard so much about our Lord Jesus. And I certainly wouldn't want to repeat some of the things that were said concerning consecration. And it's all based on a theme discourse that we've had. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When he was 30 years old, he presented his life to do the will of God. And so as he came to the River Jordan, we know what happened. John the Baptist was there. But after he was immersed, he came out of the river, out of the water. What did our Heavenly Father say recorded in the Scriptures, according to Mark? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine the number of angels that sang to the Heavenly Father? How joyous they were. A lot of the points that have happened in his life, Brother Obi brought it to our attention this morning. We're not going to repeat it. How many of you had the same experience? Maybe if some of your member of your family, of your son or your daughter had was going to be immersed. Your son, your daughter would be in the front row, and you parents are at the back, and you would probably tap the brother, sister next to you. That's my daughter. That's my son. He's going to be immersed today. She's going to be immersed today. The joy that goes through the parents' hearts is indescribable. We had that experience. Can you imagine the experience of Heavenly Father? The joy that here is his beloved son. When Jesus came out, and as he walked along the seashore, and all these fishermen were there, what did he say? Some of the words were in the film today. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Wow. Imagine what the fishermen thought. Boy, that's going to increase our fishing. But he had something else in mind. There's so many wonderful things expressed about our Lord. And it started on Friday, the Beatitudes. On Saturday we had Jesus as a great teacher. It was well presented. Then we had Rick Sarasi on the convention theme discourse, looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And today, we have Jesus' example of sacrifice and suffering for righteousness' sake. I think it's one of the wonderful privileges that we have that Jesus opened up unto us. The privilege that we have, we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. I said it once before. Some of you may agree, some of you may not, but that doesn't matter. At least I personally feel that way. I am glad that the kingdom did not begin in 1914, as Brother also thought it would. Because if it did, you and I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have that privilege of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And God knew in his plan when, how, and where, and who. It's a privilege we have. Because if it did begin, there'd be no reproduction of human life. And here we are. In Brother Russell's day, there's 1.2 billion people living on the earth. What do we have today? What, 6.2 almost? 6.2 billion? So you can see that the earth still isn't filled properly. There's still room. We talked about it once before. The Carnegie Institute had asked a question one time, this was on the radio, of how many people have lived since time of Adam till now. Well, they had a couple of guesses. We don't know. But they ran a figure between 30 and 60 billion, give or take. We don't know. But if it was, they said, what if it was 60 billion? And you multiply the number of square miles you have in the world that people can live, the deserts, and etc. How many people would you have per square mile when they're all brought back from the grave? That was interesting. And their figure was less than 200 per square mile. A square mile has 640 acres. So how much acres is that per person? So you can see the earth is still not filled properly. We sure don't need, the world doesn't need 3 acres of land for one individual. We live on a quarter acre of land. Look how much you can produce in a quarter acre. Just think when the earth is perfect. As we've seen on the film, how the deserts are blossoming in Israel. The production of food is tremendous. It was said over this platform that how the whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. They don't know what they're waiting for, but Paul wrote that. Paul knew what it's all about. And that just further promises that will be fulfilled by our Heavenly Father. And what is the world waiting for? They're waiting for the last member of the church to go beyond the veil. Symbolically, as we study the tabernacle, the Lord's goat blood will be taken into the Most Holy, and that will seal the new covenant. And that promise will be fulfilled. His brother Lenny Grice brought it to our attention this morning. God's promises will come true. We'll turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And what we're going to do is to kind of summarize this. It's a parable of a marriage feast. You notice that in verses 1 and 2 it says, And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parable, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Kingdom of heaven. It's not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. And here is described who is ruler, the glorified Christ, will not be an earthly king, but a heavenly being of the highest rank. This marriage, as Messiah is to be the great king of the earth during this period of his mediatorial reign, it is the Father's good pleasure that he should have a bride. And so during this period of time, as we drop down to verse 14, and so the call went out. The invitation went out to come to this wedding feast. And in verse 14 says, For many were called, many are called. I'm reading from New American Standard. And from the Strong's Concordance is 2822. And the word called means to summon someone, to invite. Let's presume you're standing on a street corner and you're going to have a wedding feast and you summon someone to come, to invite. You're inviting them. And then it says, But few are chosen. And that's again Strong's 1588, which means few are elected, few are chosen. But those who are selected become the elect. So we know what happened when he came to his own. He's inviting his own Israelites, the people, the Jewish nation, or the Jewish people. But they all had excuses. Well, I'm busy with my family, and I got things to do. And if it was in Canada, we'd say, well, we got to go fishing. And I don't know what you people do here. But you remember, we have this wonderful privilege that's been given to us. And Brother Rod brought it to our attention yesterday. You have the privilege, if you've been faithful unto death, you're going to be those sons of God that will bring blessings to the world of mankind. You're the one that's going to fulfill that promise as shown in the film today. The promise of made to Father Abraham, indeed in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a joyous privilege that'll be. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine bringing somebody back, restoring somebody of your own family that hasn't been in the truth? And you're going to lead him up towards the highway of holiness? What a joyous privilege that would be. What a wonderful example our Jesus gave to us when he was baptized in the River Jordan. And the Father repeated those words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you imagine the choir singing to each one of you that are going to go beyond the veil? Can you imagine the wedding feast that will take place? And all of you, 144,000, are there. Let's see, here we find that in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, it seems to show three divisions or parts in one call which gathers the guests. The Jewish people, the first invitation. And so we know the Jews have been invited to the high honor from the time of going of the law covenant. At Sinai. They had the first privilege. And you know scriptures tell us, he came to his own received him not. But they had that opportunity. And so we find that the first call reached the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the doctors of the law who sat in Moses' seat. And they were asked. The Jews had the first opportunity for joint heirship with the Messiah in his kingdom. But we find that during the Gospel Age, God had, through the law and the prophets, informed Israel, which were his friends, of his intention to have such a feast. And they would not come. And so to the first call, none seemed to have responded, except those servants only who bore the message. And as John 1:11 tells, he came to his own received him not. And so again, during the 3.5 years following the crucifixion, we find a second invitation after their house or nation was left desolate. It talks about other servants, other disciples. Disciples at first were simply justified men, but on and after Pentecost, they were new creatures begotten of God. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, he became that embryo of the new creation. The embryo of that new creation. We find in chapter 22, verse 4, again, other servants which were asked. You find that the second call is not to the righteous and promised among the Jews, but to the morally, the mentally poor, the blind, and the naked, and so on. But he prepared a dinner. the good things pertaining to the spiritual phase of the kingdom of God. You know, the kind of food they prepared there kind of reminds me of some of the European food. I mean, there's everything there. Probably just like going to some kind of a smorg. But it tells us that he prepared the fatlings. And I think this is a wonderful description of the ransom price which has been paid, because our Lord himself was that bullock that was slain. Come into the marriage, he says, only by consecration could anyone have the right to be at the banquet as a member, either of the bride or of the great company. We find that eventually Jesus was slain. His followers too had been mistreated. Some have lost their lives, some were slain. And so the parable goes on to tell us in verse 9, go ye into the highways now, among the nations, the Gentiles, outside of Israel. This is the third invitation. The same invitation. He asked them to come to the marriage. And we know that third invitation was the Gentiles. And we're told in verse 10 that he gathered together both the bad and the good. In other words, what does that mean? I think it means the suitable and unsuitable. He gathered good into the vessels, but the bad eventually were cast away. One of the greatest privileges we have also, as mentioned the other day, is of the memorial. When we partake of the memorial, that is a privilege. It's not just a custom like some may think. We do it because everybody else does it. No, it's a privilege. What a wonderful privilege that is to participate in the memorial. In Matthew 22:11, I'm going to skip a lot of these verses here. And so when the king came in to see the guests, and that king, I believe, is Jehovah God. In that parable, we find that there was a man who came to the wedding, who did not have any garments. And I think probably this man is a class that rejected the wedding garment. It's going to be a small class. It wouldn't be a large number of people. It's a very limited class. Probably all of whom once appreciated the ransom, and under its favor, they entered into a special light of the harvest time only. And finally they dropped out. We notice that consecration, a full consecration, as a wholehearted devotion to do the will of God. In the New Testament, you don't find the word consecration, only in the Old Testament. But what it means, it's a devotion, it's a dedication to make something new, to set apart. And I believe it will be greatly agreed that the full consecration, a wholehearted devotion to doing the will of God and carrying it out even unto death, is the necessary part of the Christian life. What did Jesus say when he ascended? And this is in Matthew, the last chapter 28. When they saw him go, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. But what did Jesus say to them? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The word teaching means that to instruct them, to observe all that I have commanded you. We know what some of the commandments were. It was repeated to us yesterday, to love one another, to love your neighbor as thyself. And the phrase, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The word with you really means I will overshadow you to the end of the age. The follower of Jesus must make his calling and election sure. And this was brought to our attention here over the platform, 2 Peter 1:10. And the reason is to obtain a place in the glorified church, the body of Christ. Because under this headship of our Lord Jesus is the seed of Abraham, through whom all the families of the earth are to be blessed. It also is the seed of the woman, which is to bruise the serpent's head, destroy Satan and all his works. The scriptures make it clear that the adversary's main activity in this age is to prevent this development of this seed. And God's instructions for his, and God's instrument is this seed that will be part of his destruction. Satan has deceived many and hindered them from making a consecration to God. There are all kinds of excuses that he will come up with. And it's been brought to our attention here over the last couple of days. So a Christian consecrated the Lord, yet he's going to have the sympathy for all good works. And is he sometimes persuaded to leave the Lord's work to assist in somebody else by carrying on by those that are without in the world? Mark 4:11. The bondservants of great king is privileged to say what Paul said. Philippians 3:13. This one thing I do. And we have that invitation. The terms of our consecration means a full devotion to the will of God, to the work of developing this seed, the work he now wishes to have done. Someone one time had mentioned this. He says, you are holding up the kingdom. I think it was Brother Paul Malley. So make your connection sure. Hurry up. Well, the Lord will do it his way. The Lord knows how much you need. You know, Paul said, let no man trouble me or hinder you. I am the servant of the great king. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:17. He has called me to do a great work. Do not interfere with me. The masters emphasized the same point on one occasion, saying to Peter, I think it was, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Luke 9:16. In spite of all the adversary's obstacles and deceptions, the promised seed certainly will be complete. You know, as we look at the conditions of the world today, as you watch the news, and you often think to yourself, how long, O Lord, how long will this go on? In Habakkuk, the first chapter is a nice study. And Habakkuk really pictures the church in the flesh at this end of the age. And Habakkuk asked the question, how long, O Lord? And the Lord gives him an answer in verses 4, 5, and on. As we watch the news from time to time, sometimes our hearts yearn. We wish that this old social order would come to an end. There was a statistics they had on television on what's happened with the internet. How much good is there on the internet and how much evil is there on the internet? And the survey was 24% is good on the internet. The rest is all evil. Bob Goodman told me yesterday, the minute that that internet came out, who grabbed a hold of it real fast? What was under? Child pornography. And that brings in billions and billions of dollars in the industry. Evil. You know, we can use it for so much good. I mentioned here the other day, you know, all these brethren we have in America, as well as throughout the Europe and other places. Ken Rawson talked to us about talents. There's so much talent in all of those brethren. You sitting here, can you imagine if you put that talent together? Boy, what could be done to promote the gospel message worldwide? As Ken said, don't hide your talent under the bushel. There's so much could be done. And so, brethren, Jesus' consecration, his devotion, his dedication, is a wonderful example to us. And you and I have the privilege to continue in his footsteps. Yes, it leads to the cross, that's true. But afterward, it yielded a peaceful fruit of righteousness. We yearn for that day. And brethren, you know my prayer on your behalf is that someday, somehow, that you and I could be at that marriage supper to fulfill that promise that was made to Father Abraham, which was brought out in the film today. Wouldn't that be a joy? Oh my. Just think. You're God's family. You know, when God created Adam, there was that feeling, you know, the human race has a family. I don't have one. And he wanted his own family. He wanted a family. He wanted a bride for his son. And he made it possible through his son. When the son was baptized in the River Jordan, he opened a way for us. And you and I have that privilege. When we leave this place tomorrow, there's so much that we're going to take home from this convention. Of all the discourses that are given on the life of our Lord Jesus, we're going to cherish that. It's a wonderful example he laid out for us. You know, as we're going to part tomorrow, we'll have tears. That's common. That's good. It's healthy for us. Because it shows our love for one another. When we go home tomorrow, brethren, we're going to turn a new leaf. We're going to work together as a unit. We're going to work together for the bond of peace. Peace for the brethren. Peace of mind. We know that Satan tries every little bit he can to bring discouragement for us. But we're not going to let him. We're not going to let him do that. Brethren, let us try every little bit we can to fulfill the legacy that Brother Russell had left for us. What is our mission? Brother Russell suggested we should study that at least once a year in our classes, because it's healthy. It's very healthy. Because we're going to help and edify one another. Proclaim his message of the wonderful truth that we have. From Genesis to Revelation, what is the main theme of the Bible? Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrection, the kingdom. Is the theme of the Bible. Theme of our Lord. And it was brought up by some of the speakers here. And brethren, may God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your life when you leave this convention. And let us continue to bring honor and glory to Heavenly Father. Let's use your talents, as Brother Ken said. Let's put them to good use. And brethren, when we leave tomorrow, remember this. As time goes on, we need each other. Because we'll get less and less in number. We need to lift each other up to fulfill our covenant and sacrifice we made with the Lord. Jesus gave us a wonderful example when he laid down his life and he showed it to the River Jordan. When the Heavenly Father said, I'm well pleased in my Son, so he is well pleased with each and every one of us as we present our lives in sacrifice. May God's Holy Spirit continue to be here during the Vesper service also. May the Lord add his blessing.
Brother Ken, thank you very much for drawing our attention to Jesus' sacrifice and the opportunity that we have to be dead with him. So I'm going to ask Brother Ken to go ahead and close this service with a word of prayer and ask a blessing upon the Vesper service to follow. So would you stand as Brother Ken does that?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful and thankful for this opportunity that we've been given to us to be meet together as thy people, as thy children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for thy Son, Christ Jesus, who died on our behalf. And Heavenly Father, help us to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice we've made with thee. Be with thee as it lights the world over, the sick and the isolated. May the Holy Spirit give them the comfort and the strength. And Heavenly Father, be with those that are in beds of affliction, that are need thy special care. Heavenly Father, may the Holy Spirit be with them and guide them, direct them. And at this time, Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon the Vesper service. Be with Brother Tim and open our hearts and minds to the words that will be spoken. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, if we have spoken anything in amiss, as we give you thanks for all these blessings that we've received these last few days.
We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the choir should probably come on up at this time, and we'll